So here's another example, Harvard grades. Right? These are Harvard grades. I didn't bring the table up to date. I should, but you can just see that the same trend has continued. If you go back to 20 years ago, only 14% of the grades were A's, 19% were B's, 21% were B pluses, 17% were B's. There were all four of those grades had kind of relatively equal probability. Now, quarter of the A's or quarter of the grades are A's. It's now I think A's and A minuses are up over 50%. So if you say to someone now, you got an A, particularly if you just sort of allied the fact that an A and an A minus, we'll just kind of treat those the same, right? You're not telling people very much. So the complaint about Harvard grades, I maintain, is not that they're high, but that the information content has been squeezed out of them, relatively speaking. The only real information content in a grading system where everybody gets an A, or virtually everybody gets an A, is for the poor person who doesn't get an A, right? Everybody, you get a C, all of a sudden you've actually said something about a person when you give them a C. You're not saying very much about them if you give them an A, if everybody else gets A's. So it's the fact that the distribution is skewed that leads to that there are some high probability events among the messages that is causing the loss of information. Okay, so let's do a concrete example here. Let's take a message sequence that's got four. Instead of yay and nay and or AA minus, B plus and B, we'll use these canonical examples that just have four different symbols, A, B, C, and D. And let's take the simplest possible way of encoding them. This is like micro ASCII, right? We just take the four combinations. There are four things. You give them each, a two-digit sequence. That's how many you need if there are going to be four, right? And, if there are n symbols instead of four, you basically need log to the base 2 of n. So if you've got 27 symbols, as there are in the English alphabet, if you include space, you need 5 bits, because 2 to the log to the base 2 of 27 is a little more than 5. 2 to the 5th is 32nd. So 27 is between 2 to the 4th and 2 to the 5th. So you need 5 bits if you had the whole English alphabet. So these things are just called block codes. You just, just get a different block, all of the same length. The blocks are all of the same length. So that's not very interesting, and even Morse realized that that was not the right way to do things. To get a more efficient code, you've got to find a way to use variable lengths and then weight the more, have the more probable, the more frequent letters have shorter codes. So one way to do this is to just count the letter frequencies in English. That's the chart that we started with. And we're going to go beyond that. So if you can turn this around, you can take the frequencies of English letters and just sort of imagine that this is the only thing that you know about English. What would English look like? Well, here's the zeroth order. I'm sorry, I didn't go beyond. I'm not even using the letter frequencies at this point. This is what English would look like if every letter appeared equally frequently and you didn't have any other information about the structure of the language at all. So this is sort of a zeroth order approximation to what an English generator would look like. Just spits out the letters A through Z in space with equal likelihood in completely random order. All right, and if this is what you were taking as your model of English, then the best you could do to encode it would be to take 5 bits per character, as we discussed. But now let's imagine that we know a little more. We know something about the letter frequencies, as in fact we do in English. And to take an extreme example to show how you might actually work this out, go back to our four symbol alphabet, A, B, C, and D, and suppose that 70% of the letters were A and 10% each were B, C, and D. Okay, so following the principle that you want to make the more frequent things shorter, you know, maybe you make A a zero, but then you can't use 2 bits for all of the others because they're only, there aren't going to be enough combinations that don't begin with zero. I'm getting a little ahead of myself here, but let's just take this code. I'll take this code and I'll explain it in the next thing. So A is 0, B is 100, C is 101, and D is 110. Let's just take that as an example of a code. This is a code that you can read from left. If you read the bit strings from coming at you that are encoded this way from left to right, or just imagine that they're coming at you out of the end of a wire, you can... This is a uniquely decipherable code. Right? You see a zero, it's got to be an A. You see another zero, it's got to be an A. If you see a one, then it's got to be the beginning of one of the other three letters. And so you'd have to read two more before you decide which of those three letters it is. Okay? So this is called a prefix code, because no code is a prefix of any other code. No, you know, zero is not a prefix of B, C, or D. B, C, or D are all the same length, and they. But you couldn't also have a code, something with a code 1, 1, for example, because you wouldn't know whether you were seeing the first 2 bits of that or of D, or whether you were seeing this other thing. So there's no way to have a prefix code where the other three letters are all only 2 bits long, because they all have to begin with one, and there's only two. Then there'd be only two possibilities for the second place. Right, so this code works. A is short, and you can decode it reasonably from left to right. And the question is how, you know, here's an example of decoding it. 0, 0, 0, 0. Those all have to be A's. Then you see a one. So then you read two more bits, got to be 100, so that's a B. Then you see some more zeros, and then eventually you see another one, and then you read two more bits. And, you know, this is an example of a sequence of messages that's consistent with the notion that most of the things that are encoded are A's, and this is a relatively short sequence of bits to give you the encoding of this whole sequence, A, 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 B, then 7A's, then D, then 8A's, then B, and so on. All right? So now, what's the minimum average code length for this? Well, you take the code and the frequencies, and you compute the weighted averages I had. 70% of the things, of the letters, are going to be of length 1. 10% are going to be of length 3, another 10% are going to be of length 3, another 10% are going to be of length 3, and the weighted average is 1.6 bits per symbol, per, you know, one of the A, B, C, D symbols. So we've affected a 20% compression, because it used to be 2 bits per character when we were using a simple block code. Now it's down to 1.6 bits per character. There's our first thing. Now, this code I more or less pulled out of the air. It's not the best we can do. You can do it this way, and you get make B 1, 0, and then use the two combinations that begin 1, 1 for C and D, and now you've made it a little bit smaller. This gets it down to 1.5 bits per character. And the question is, you know, can you get it any smaller? There is some minimum. Or at least we have, you know, you should have the sense that there's some minimum below which you can't go. You probably can't get it down to 1 bit per character, because, you know, there are 4 things and all 4 of them occur, or something like that, right? Is 1.5 as small as you can get it? That's the entropy. That magic number that's the minimum code length is the entropy. And that's the thing we're going to come back and talk about. So here's just to finish it up by turning the example around. This is actually what English looks like if you take this, what I call the first order model for the English language, where you just have the letter frequencies as determining what letters occur, and you turn it on and you just generate letters in the English language according to their proper frequencies, and it looks like this. This looks a little bit more like English. There's sort of the right, you know, percentage of E's anywhere, but obviously English has much more structure than this model is taking advantage of. But you can get an upper bound on the entropy of English this way, which turns out to be about 4 bits per character. So you can get compress English down using only 4 bits per character instead of 5, just by taking advantage of the fact that, you know, E's are much more common than J's. So we're going to continue there, but one caution I should end with is that all of these models for language that depend on letter frequencies are based on the fact that the stuff you're encoding actually follows those rules.